that need to be done. His mission, His word needs to be. Okay, that time back there is not right. I had just a little bit of a freak out. Oh man, we did do some singing. Are you pointing at that like I'm supposed to be able to see it? Oh, I see it now. Thank you. Yeah, it's hidden. It's like one of those pictures. You know, one of those I could never do them. Proverbs and money. This will be the second Sunday that the kids have been in here with us to talk about money. So parents, I'm hoping that you take these lessons, take these proverbs, and start helping your kids apply them. Teach them to be generous. Teach them there are other things to do with their money besides spend it on stuff that they're going to like for 5 minutes and then make it disappear. Teach them what God says about money. You will protect their hearts and you will protect their lives for the rest of their life. Proverbs and money. Here we go. We started last week by talking about the idea of show me the money. All of us want the money. You want to step out at 18. At 19, you got that first job, and I should be making 100 grand a year. Give me that money. Right? You have no idea the needs that I have. This cell phone isn't going to upgrade itself. Right? That car is not going to buy itself. I need it, and I need it right now. Show me the money. What's the problem with that? You and I are not wise enough to handle it right. Money, like so many other things in this world, in the wrong hands or with a foolish heart, will actually curse you. It'll crush your life. It'll harm those you love if you're given it in the wrong season at the wrong time. And so the Lord gives us plenty of advice on how to use our money and what to do with it. Before we see the money, we must love the wisdom. Money with no wisdom is a road to bad decisions. Friends, I told you last week, and I want to remind you this week, you and I can be let down with money in two areas. You cannot get it and live your life envious. You can covet your neighbor's stuff. You can miss the blessing of your own stuff. That's the trap, okay? When you don't get the money and you're looking around saying, everybody else has this stuff and they have this thing and they have that thing. I hate my life. And in essence, what that means if you and I are Christian is, I hate the life you've given me. Do you understand that? I hate what I have. I despise it. It's not what they have and their stuff is nicer. The other piece that happens with money is you get it, and then all of a sudden you find out, man, it's not nearly as fulfilling as I thought it was going to be. I had to trade too many things to get this. A lot of times you find that lesson out way too late. So we dealt with that idea last week. I told you all we need to show our children the wisdom. Psalm 37:16 says, better is a little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. That's not a, everybody say proverb. That's not a proverb. Who wrote that psalm? David, father of Solomon, whose proverbs we have been going through. Listen, friends. God gave your children a father and a grandfather and a church so that they didn't have to learn from scratch. Isn't that amazing? One of the wisest men to ever live, we're gleaning his wisdom, and the more you read Proverbs, the more you figure out, holy moly, it wasn't just that random prayer when God said, I'll give you that wisdom, you've honored me with your request. It was actually the idea that he had a father that he paid attention to, that he listened to, that he learned from, and that wisdom was already being built in. Wisdom about war, wisdom about God and righteousness, wisdom about money, wisdom in the life and heart of David was given to Solomon, and then Solomon gives it to you and I. He lands in the realm of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, an old man looking at life and just trying to figure out what it's all about, says this, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. We're going to see it in Proverbs. Chasing after wealth. Listen, that is not to be equal to working hard. Do you and I understand the difference? We are required by God in order to steward our time at work well, which means we should work hard or we should slack off. Say it. Should anybody at your job that doesn't claim the name of your Savior be more diligent, more focused, more helpful than you? I believe Vodi Bakum would say, if you can't say amen, you ought to say ouch. That's a good one. That's a hard one. But nobody at your job should bring more light to the area than you do. They should not bring more help to the area than you do. This is convicting. It's very convicting. I work with some wonderful people, and they go out of their way constantly to do good things. And I think, man, I should be that kind of example. So working hard and chasing money are not the same thing. Don't ever get those two things mixed up. You and I are required to work hard. Why? Because partly you and I are laying up treasure in heaven with our work now. Isn't that awesome? You think, man, my boss hates me. My job's horrible. Okay, you're not working for them, and you're not working for that company. God has given you a way to supply your needs, and you're working for Him. He's going to provide now, and He's going to bless later. If you really believe that kind of theology, you know what that's going to do at your hard job? Somebody say, lessen the load. It's going to make it a little easier to go in, isn't it? Lord, I'm working for you today. And you open that door and you walk in and like, hey, Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Why? Because I just walked in, and where my foot goes, He is. I'm here to be His ambassador. That has a way of making heavy things a little bit lighter. Show me the habits. We talked about that last week. If you want money, you need to start with good habits. Proverbs 10:4 says, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Get to work. Get to work. You can work in a field where you're making money. You can work in a church where you're blessing people and taking care of things. There's all kinds of work to do. Some of you all are retired. Like, the concept of retirement in our culture and the concept of retirement in God's culture, somebody say, are not the same thing. Say, man, I'm done with my job. I got my stuff taken care of. My finances are good. And I'm just going to kick back and rest. That's not a God thing. There's stuff to do until the day you walk into His kingdom. Then guess what? That toil stops. There's still work to do, but there's no more toil in God's kingdom like the garden. Before sin, it was all work, and it was all a joy. After sin, toil comes in. Thorns come out of the ground. Sweat comes off the brow. That'll be heaven one day. There'll be work to do, but there'll be no toil. My friends, as you get ready to retire, I would beg you to rethink what it is you're going to do with the rest of your life, because there are young people that need you. They need your wisdom. They need your time. They need your help. Some of them are barely making it. Like, they're drowning. Life is drowning them. And to have somebody step in and say, you know what, I got some time. I got some wisdom. I got a lot of love. And I'm a part of God's kingdom. You make a huge difference. Proverbs 14:23 says, in all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. Don't just talk it. Get out and do it. I told you last week one of the most powerful things is the protection that comes with a thankful and a generous heart. Proverbs 22:9 says, whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. Jesus would mimic this in Matthew chapter 6. Do not forget these things. They are connected. Right? Don't lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, but treasures in heaven. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so that if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. If then the light is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either you will hate one and love the other, you cannot serve God and money. Matthew 6. Jesus connects the two. A bountiful eye, a good eye, is a generous eye. And Jesus would say, if your eye is good, your whole body is good. Why do we know those things are connected? Because He says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Lay them up in heaven. He's talking about being generous. And in that, if my eye is good, if what comes in, if I am bountiful, if I am thankful, if I am generous, my whole life will just exude that. The concept Jesus grabs is from Proverbs. Whole body, whole life is good. So let me show you a couple things this morning. Wicked money, righteous money. We're going to look at it in Proverbs. Are you ready? Proverbs 1:19, wicked money. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Friends, if you and I are chasing money after in unjust ways, if we're not being diligent in business, if we're not working with people properly, if we are demanding or expecting things that aren't our due, if we're lying, cheating, or stealing in a way that brings about finances into our life, you better believe there's going to come a payment and a penalty. And that penalty is going to be, it takes away the life of the possessor. Is it just your physical life? Absolutely not. If you wake up at 85 and you look back and you're getting ready to cross over and you think, I spent too much time running after money. That's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It just happened. What did that pursuit take from you? My life. I can't get it back. I've made those decisions. I've made those exchanges. And now when I look back and say, I robbed myself of life. The pursuit of money, the pursuit of wealth in greedy or ungodly ways will destroy your life. Proverbs 10:2 says, treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. You ever heard the study of what like one of the number one fears is for millionaires? One of their worries, and this is just a worldly study, one of their worries is that people are going to what? Take advantage of them. Every time they answer the phone call, somebody needs something, somebody wants something. So that pursuit, those treasures gained in wickedness, bring with them no blessing. I can't even trust my family. You ever hear the jokes about when somebody wins the lottery? Family from everywhere, but didn't even know that person. Guess what? Uncle so-and-so needs something. Cousin so-and-so is in a hit a hard time. And you're like, I don't even know you. Do you have the wrong number, right? That one pays dividends on both ends for us out of wisdom, because the first one is, everybody knows that's true. The other one is, what happens to most of those millionaires once they win that lottery? Broke. It happens to young people when they get a good job and money too. A lot of people that work in the coal mine, especially when they're young, make a lot of what? And then as soon as they're laid off, what do they have to sell? A lot of stuff. Well, there goes the camper and the four-wheeler and the truck and the side-by-side and the trailer, right? Listen, these are wisdom pieces that play out even today. Proverbs 13:11, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. It's the same thing with church ministry. It's the same thing with what you and I are doing right here. Little by little by little. Individuals, families, loving them, training them, and the Lord will add to us as we go. But it's the same thing with your finances. Do smart things with your money. Save. Pay off debt. Keep your income. Don't give it to others. And when you do, give it as a gift. Give it as a gift. Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. I love that. Proverbs 18:11, a rich man's wealth is in his strong city, and like a high wall. That sounds pretty good, don't it? That's pretty stout. In that day and age, if you didn't have a wall, you were in what? Trouble, right? But what's the rest of that verse say? It's like a high wall, what? In his imagination. I have an imaginary barrier. I have an imaginary safety blanket. Guess what? When life kicks in and that phone rings, that money means absolutely nothing now. Gain the whole world but lose his soul would be something Jesus would say. What profit is there to gain it all but lose your soul? Greedy gain, greedy people, unjust gain. They grab this stuff and they think there's protection there, but guess what? They're just as frail as you and I. The wisdom that comes at the end of the day is just amazing. And the idea in Proverbs is the rich and the poor are alike. They're going to stand before God one day, empty-handed, only clothed with what He gives us in the moment. Wicked money, Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is what? Slave to the lender. Friends, in a culture that lives off of borrowing, I am begging you and I to do it different. Do it different. Set aside money. Make plans. Deny yourself long enough to pay cash for things. Do you understand what I'm saying? The borrower is slave to the lender. Part of this too looks like this. I'm so in debt that I can't quit a job that's draining me. It's harming me. It's hurting me. It's hurting my family. It's taking time I can't get back. the borrower is slave to the lender. But because they pay me well, I cannot let go of this thing, even though it would do my soul so much good to do it. Some of us in America, that looks like that. The borrower is slave to the lender. You're slave to a person that treats you poorly because that paycheck every 2 weeks is enough to pay your bills. And that is bleeding down into your family, into your marriage. And we need to protect ourselves and we need to protect our children, because what you and I ingest a little bit, they get a whole lot of. And this idea is one that is going to penetrate their lives very, very early. How about wicked money? Proverbs 23, 4 and 5. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings like an eagle toward heaven. Man, I got that 2024 pickup. And 60 days later, there was a 2025. And it was nice. Right? I got that iPhone 37. And 6 days after that, they sent me that for a small fee, I could have the 38. And it has 7 cameras on the back, of which I know how to use none. Right? This is how this stuff works. It's a trap. It's a trap. It's a trap. You know, one of the things we're dealing with a culture right now, I would love to poll all the people that have bought vehicles in the last couple years and had to take them back in for servicing that you couldn't get done. I would love to poll people about all this nice stuff we're driving around in, and there are a list of safety recalls that will blow your mind. Our Honda Odyssey now has, I think, 3. Can't be fixed. But just to let you know, that vehicle is in danger of shutting down randomly, maybe catching fire. We had that hybrid car. They sent us a recall notice that said, don't park it in your garage. Might catch fire. Okay, that's a pretty stout warning. So I was like, man, I wish I could park it in our house. I'm just kidding, Dean. Dean's here today. I'm just kidding, buddy. Just kidding. The issues, the water issues, the roof, it, nothing's been that bad. Man, if I could have pulled that hybrid in there and just let it charge in the kitchen, I might have. Anyway, I would love to be able to take a poll and say, I mean, like, this thing is new and nice and beautiful. Look at them headlights. They're gorgeous. And they make, you've seen the Audi commercial where you can program the headlights how you want them. There's like 30 different things. Who cares? You're never going to see it unless you're standing out in front of it. And in the commercial, the lady's actually standing there and her son is high beaming her. Which one is good? 25. That's a great one. Like, they're high beams. We're falling for it. And the enemy says, yep, yep, yep. Come on in. I got another piece of junk you got to buy. You're going to love it. And then you're going to take it and have it serviced. And then they're going to tell you, we don't do rental cars. I need a vehicle. What am I going to do? Oh, just bring it back when you can. Drop it off. Wow, this is getting insane. Proverbs 28:8. Whoever multiplies his wealth by interest and profit gathers it for him who is what? Generous with the poor. All of this worldly stuff, you know who it's going to be handed to one day? Somebody say the church. Somebody say Jesus, and then me and you. All of this stuff being built, man, it's going to burn up. He's going to make it new, and then he's going to give it to me and you for free as heirs to the kingdom. You and I are working and toiling for scraps. Working and toiling for scraps when God says, just hold off, be patient, invest here, and I'm going to give you more than you could ever understand. Proverbs 28:22, a stingy man hastens after wealth and does not know that poverty will come upon him. Boy, that wicked money sounds real appealing, don't it, when you get it all in one dose like that. God's looking at you and I and saying, don't chase after these pursuits. They'll rob your life. They'll take your family. They'll take your joy. They'll take your peace. They'll take all of it. How about righteous money? What does God claim about righteous money? Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Now listen, is plenty a subjective term or is it objective? Do we know what plenty is? You say, man, I'm honoring the Lord with my stuff, but I don't have plenty like they have plenty. That's what I'm getting at. The concept that you and I will have plenty is plenty of what? Plenty of stuff to take care of my needs, right? and when called upon, to love and to care for those around me. To be generous with what I have. And God says, you live that way and I will fill you up. He does it spiritually. He'll do it with your time. You want to get more done with your time than you ever dreamed possible? Love the Lord right. And He will take that time, that 24 hours, and He will change it. His math is different than our math. And it's so easy to see with money. When you and I yield with our money to Him, it's amazing to see what He does with what's left over. Just miraculous things start to happen, right? You got a big bill due, and some poor elderly feller pulls into a restaurant and slams into your big, brown, ugly Suburban and does $961 worth of damage of that $1,000 bill you had due in a couple days. That's how that works. Scratch the taillight on the beast and put a little dent in it. My kids had done more to the inside of that vehicle than that fella ever did. But you know what? Nationwide sent me a check. Her check. Man, we had a big old bill looming. We were trying to get our lives right. We were trying to get our money right. We had started tithing again. We'd just moved home broke in the middle of a mess. We had some friends step in and bail us out big time, and we were putting our lives back together. And then, man, you open the mail one day, and there's a huge old bill there for something that was looming in a past life. You got to pay this, and you're going to pay it in 60 days. Lord, all right. I mean, I'm working, serving tables at Outback in Charleston. My wife was working a job. Okay, Lord, I don't know where this money's going to come from, but whatever. And all of a sudden, you know what it come from? A car accident in a parking lot where nobody was harmed. Little stuff like that starts to happen when you and I want to honor Him, not with what you think. You don't need enough to honor God. You need to honor Him with what you have. Do you understand that? I got $10, I need to honor Him with 10 bucks. If I got 10 million, I need to honor Him with 10 million. Do you understand? That's how this works. You and I don't look and say, I only got $10. If I had 100, I would honor the Lord. That's not how this works. You and I are tested when we have a little bit. And then when we start to get more, that testing bears fruit. There's nothing in the world more beautiful than generous people that have money. Some of you will never know the stories because you're not on the inside of that stuff until you need it. But some of you will not understand. There is a glory in godly people having money and the things they do with it. Lives change, people change, communities change, countries change because God's people. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and He adds no sorrow with it. You know the difference between God giving money and the devil giving money? Strings. Strings attached. It's the same thing with marriage. It's the same thing with intimacy. It's the same thing with power. It's the same thing with authority. It's the same thing with a platform. When God gives it, there's no strings. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It blesses your family, your wife, your children, your husband, your grandparents, everybody. It blesses everybody, your church and your community. When the devil gives it, man, it feels good and it looks good. And then he starts wrecking people in your wake. Family broken. Parenting broken. Job broken. Testimony broken. That's the difference. The devil can give riches too. When he gives them, though, there are strings. Proverbs 11:28, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Isn't that beautiful? Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. Let me ask you one question real quick. What kind of inheritance are you leaving for your children? You say, man, I don't have a lot of money. That's fine. Are you leaving wisdom? Are you leaving something for them to build off of? Are you and I teaching them the things that will bless their life instead of curse it? That's also an inheritance. It's not just a check. It's not just some kind of something to steward. It is the life you and I give them, the wisdom we give them, the integrity we give them to move forward. That's also an inheritance. We need to look at that as just as important. Proverbs 15:16 says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble with it. Proverbs 16:8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. Proverbs 21:20, precious treasure and oil are in the wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man does what? He devours it. There's no blessing for anybody else, and there's nothing for tomorrow. That's the curse of Esau. The Bible calls him a secular man or a worldly man. It's the curse of Esau. I need that soup right now, and I don't care what I miss out on tomorrow. That's one of the temptations of the age you and I live in. Esau come up, he was within walking distance of his mom and dad's tent, but instead he was hungry, there was soup, Jacob said, I'll let you have it, but you're going to sell me your birthright, and he says, what does that matter to me? I don't care about tomorrow, I'm going to die right now if I don't get something to eat. That is not true. I don't care if I have to make 72 or 86 payments for $1,000 a month on this truck. I want it. I want it right now. Future me is going to want to punch me in the face. Luckily, I'll be out of reach. That's the way this looks like right now. I'm going to sign that note for a 30-year loan on this house. We look right now and we can't get past it. You know, most of the time on a vehicle, by the time you pay that first payment, you're already sick of it. Like, ooh. Only got 197 more of them. They stretched it out for you. They were doing you a favor. Proverbs 16:8, right? We talked about that one. Proverbs 22:26 and 27. Be not one of those who give pledges and put up security for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you? You see, you got wicked money and you got righteous money. Righteous money comes with no strings. But righteous money is usually slower to build. It takes some time and some wisdom. You got to put your nose down and you got to do some stuff. You know the hardest part about righteous money? You have to tell yourself what? No. That's the hardest part of righteous money, is telling yourself no. In order to be a blessing later, you need to tell yourself no right now. In order to be a curse later, you tell yourself yes whenever you want to. And I told you it doesn't carry near as much weight now. Hopefully it makes people better with a credit card, but I doubt it does. But you know, when you were running up that credit card bill and you didn't have to worry about that statement arriving for like 30 days, 35 days, and then you opened it up and you got a real surprise, now you get immediate access. Hopefully it makes us smarter with money, but I don't think it's going to. But man, when you opened that statement up and all of a sudden you figured out, dude, Chick-fil-A and Kroger and the gas station, man, $1,500 added up quick. Right? I didn't know I was blowing all that money. You got wicked money and you got righteous money. In the end of the day, what is money? It's useful. It's useful. I told you last week, you want to know where your heart is? Just look at your checkbook. Are you generous? Are you finding spots to give and to love other people? Are you being helpful where you can? Or are we blowing that money just on me, on my family, on stuff right now? Am I so worried that I'm not going to have a chance tomorrow to use it or be helpful? I'm burning it up. We need to be very, very careful. We need to make money a tool. It is not a god. It is a horrible idol to serve. Horrible idol. But it's a wonderful tool. Proverbs 22:2 says, the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. You know, that's a wonderful reminder to me and you as we live at this life. And you listen, friends, I need you to understand, if you take the context of the world, are you and I rich or poor? Say it out loud with some bass. We're rich. We're rich. And so when we read the warnings that Jesus has, hey, when we read the warnings that Jesus has for rich people, we better not be thinking about Bill Gates or DC or your neighbor, 7,000 square foot home and a sweet pool and three or four nice cars and side by side and all the toys and all the stuff. We better not be thinking about them. You and I better be thinking about who? I better be thinking about me. I am rich. You and I are richer than 99.9% of the people to ever live, not just in the world right now, ever. Solomon did not have a refrigerator, internet, air conditioner. What? Yeah. He didn't have any of that stuff. You and I have it all. I want you to remember that. The rich and the poor have this in common. They line up before the Lord. Jesus told the parable of Lazarus and the rich man to prove this point. Proverbs 30 says this, remove far from me, Lord. It's a prayer. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty or riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you. who is the Lord, or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. Neither the thief nor the self-sufficient honor their God and king properly. Don't love money and use people. Love people and use money. Is the squirrel back? Oh, it's a bee. I saw everybody looking up. Man, I was hoping to see that thing running across the ceiling. That'd have been a good one. It's been a good one this morning. Hey, money is a tool. Money is useful. It is a horrible idol. It will destroy your life. If you pursue it, you will wake up one day and wish you hadn't. Whether you get it or you don't, you'll figure out real quick it was a vain and bad pursuit. Pursue the Lord, and He'll give you everything you need. As they come this morning to play and we get ready to wrap up, I want you to think about what God has provided for you, okay? What's funny is Matthew 6 is where He says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. Money is so important because it's our last piece of security. Do you understand that? Like when Jesus or God in the Old Testament, when God the Father puts His finger on the idea of money, He's not doing something to push us into the realm where we need to think about useless things. He's pushing us the very button that brings about your security in life. Whether you eat, what you live in, how you get from here to there, that's what money represents to God. And so when He pushes against it very, very hard, you and I need to understand it's on purpose, because He wants us to trust who? Him. He wants you and I to trust Him. He doesn't want us to trust in something that's going to knock us down, sell us out, leave us high and dry. How do I know this? Because if you read in Matthew 6, right after that portion in your Bible, the very next portion is going to talk about the idea of how God cares for the lilies and the birds. The Lord knows what He's talking about when He's talking to you and I about money. He knows that's our security. And He says, I want you to love and be secure in Me. I want you to love and be secure in I will take care of you. I will give you what you need. I will fill you up with the expectation of I'm going to pour you out. I'm going to provide for other people through your life. He's not a fool when He talks about money. He's touching that one spot that you and I need to trust in Him more than we trust in ourselves, our ingenuity, or our bank accounts. Would you stand with me this morning? If you need something, you come.